You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
Welcome to Good Friday at Eternity Church. We are so excited that you're here. How many of you are excited for this weekend, church? Come on. An incredible weekend. Y'all sound amazing. I tell you what, we're lifting some praises to heaven, and heaven hears. I need you to know it. Heaven hears, church. Come on. Welcome to Eternity Church. If this is your first time, we're honored that you join us tonight. This is the first service of a bunch of services we have for this weekend, and we're just so excited that you're here at church. So why don't you go ahead and take your seats, and why don't you give yourself 10 seconds of applause as you do it. Come on. Well, if you're applauding yourself, that wasn't as good as it could be, but that's okay. Hey, again, welcome. My name is Jed. I'm one of the pastors here at Eternity Church, and we're just excited that you're here. This is the first service of five. So tonight, this is our Good Friday service. We have four more services that will be Easter services with sermons that will be completely unique to Easter. So we've got this service tonight. We've got Pastor Jesse preaching the next four. And actually, he's got a quick note for us about what we have this weekend. So if you could turn your attention to the screen, please.
Hey, everybody. Happy Easter. Thanks for coming to our Good Friday service tonight. My name is Jesse. I'm the lead pastor here at Eternity Church, and I want to invite you to come back Saturday night at 7 p.m. or Sunday morning at 7:15 a.m., 9 a.m., and 10:45 a.m. I'm preaching a message called The Heartbeat, and I'm fired up. It's going to be a great message and a great opportunity for your friends, family, and neighbors that don't know Jesus to meet him. We're going to preach the gospel. It's going to be a great weekend, and I can't wait to preach. Love you heaps. See you at church.
All right. So good. Well, welcome to Good Friday. Welcome to Good Friday. We're going to get after it here, and we're just going to keep going until we're done. Amen. Because there's good news on a day like today, and I believe that he has everybody in this place to hear something tonight, because he wants to speak to us tonight, amen? All right, so I'm going to pray. Everybody bow your heads, and then we're going to chase it. Father, thank you so much for this night. We love you. We know that you love us. We're gathered in your name, so that means you are here, and we are grateful for that, and we're just ready to receive what you have for us tonight. Jesus, in your name, amen. All right, how many of you have ever been to a concert before? All right, that's good. So you know when you're planning for a concert, right? You're going to go to a concert. Maybe it's the biggest concert of the year. It's the biggest event of the year. And you're going to plan to go to it. So you're checking out your ticket options, right? And you're looking at your wallet at the same time, but you're checking out your ticket options. And when you look at your ticket options, you've got a couple that come first that comes up is the very first option that you have. It's the least expensive option. It's the nosebleed option. Are you with me? These are the seats in the venue that are as far away as they could possibly be, and you can barely see the stage, and you can barely see who's going to be singing on it, but yet you've got a ticket, so you're in the door, right? As you keep going, the next option is a little bit more expensive, but it gets you closer to the stage. You're still in the balcony, but you're closer, so you're closer to the action, and you're closer to seeing what's going on. Are you with me? The next option gets you on the floor. Come, buddy. Somebody say on the floor. The next option gets you on the floor. Maybe it's general admission, so you can get as close as you want. The concert is there. You can get as close as you want, and you're going to have a great experience. But there's one more option, isn't there? It's the option that costs the most money, but there's one more option. It's the mega awesome VIP pre-show package option. Has anybody ever been to one of those? If you're not familiar with this option, here's what happens. You purchase this and you get your ticket to the show. But not only do you get your ticket to the show, you also get access to a pre-show party that's for VIPs, where you get to go and you get to hang out with the artist, which is fantastic. Maybe there's some good food there. There's other people there, and your mind is blown because you can't believe you're in such close proximity to the person that you went and received. There's selfies everywhere, and it's incredible. That's the pre-show VIP package option. So you get done with the pre-show, and the pre-show is incredible, and then you go to the concert afterwards, and the concert afterwards is like the cherry on top, where the band is amazing and the crowd is so loud that they literally blow the roof off the place, and it's absolutely incredible. Church, we have four more services here at Eternity Church after today. Saturday night and three on Sunday morning. They are our Easter services, and they are the cherry on top of this weekend. So we want you to make sure that you get to one of those services. They are the celebration. Pastor Jesse's going to bring a word. It's going to be incredible. We're all going to get together. We're going to blow the roof off the place. And we're going to have an amazing celebration celebrating Jesus resurrected victorious. Amen? All right, good. But first, we are here at this night. And you know what this night is? This is the greatest VIP pre-show party that's ever existed. That's what Good Friday is. If this is your first time and you have not been here before, you may have gotten a little bit of an inkling that we don't do Good Friday in a somber way. We do not do somber and down on Good Friday. And there's a reason for that. When you look back at Scripture, it's kind of interesting, and you look at what happened on Good Friday, and you could say there's so many bad things that happened on Good Friday that it's kind of odd to call it a good day. Are you with me? But let me tell you something about the pre-show party. The pre-show party only exists because the concert is happening a few hours later. The pre-show party only exists to serve the actual event that's going to take place. The pre-show party only exists because the event that's going to come next is so good. Are you with me? Because here is why we do Good Friday like this. After 2,000 years from the first Good Friday service, I'm not only left with the details of that day. I'm not only left with the details of what happened to Jesus. I'm not only left with the details of him being arrested. I'm not only left with the details of the trial. I'm not only left with the details of what was done to him and how he was humiliated and beaten. I'm not only left with the details of the cross, and I'm not only left with the details of his death. Because I know how this thing shakes out. So I can't sit here and pretend that I don't know what's coming right around the corner. Amen? Victory and him rising victorious. And his victory is our victory. Are you with me so far? Turn to the person next to you and say, here it comes. All right, now we've set the stage for Good Friday, and we are ready to go. I'm going to read a scripture. This is the Gospel of John, chapter 19, and I am going to start in verse 28. It says this: Jesus knew, and remember, this is Jesus on the cross. This is after the day that has just come is coming to a completion. This is after he is betrayed by those closest to him. This is after he is taken to trial. This is after his arrest, and he's taken to trial, a trial where everything was slanted against him. It's after he's humiliated. It's after he's been beaten, and all because he knew exactly who he was. He knew exactly who he was. He was the king. That's why it took place. And so we pick it up here now. He is on the cross, and this is hours later. Starting in verse 28. Jesus knew that his mission was now finished. And to fulfill the scripture, he said, I am thirsty. A jar of sour wine was sitting there. So they soaked a sponge in it, put it on a hyssop branch, and they held it to his lips. And when Jesus had tasted it, he said, it is finished. And then he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. Church, the message tonight is called It Is Finished. I want you to say it with me. It is finished. Come on. A while back, Christy and I were in our house and we were in our basement and we were going through things and we were having a purge day. Does anybody have a purge day? Kind of like a spring cleaning day? This was a few weeks back, so it was kind of like a pre-spring cleaning day. But there we were as you are. If you've done this before, you know where you're going through your stuff and you know how this works. You go through all these things that you have tucked away in your basement or in your closet and you start to create piles. Are you with me? You start to create piles and generally they go into three piles. First, you have the keep pile. Then you have the go pile. Right? The go pile is going to go to trash. It's going to go someplace else. The keep pile is stuff that obviously you're going to keep. And then you have a third pile. You have the maybe pile. Are you with me? Christy and I have grown to really enjoy Purge Day. It's an incredible day. It's freeing to get rid of stuff. Amen? So we've grown to enjoy this day. The keep pile is the pile that for things that you are going to keep that are useful. Or that they are precious to you. Are you with me so far? The go pile are things that are no longer useful. They do you no good, and you shouldn't have them anymore. Are you with me so far? The go pile, when you look at that stuff, that they can be some easy things that go in the go pile. The box of plugins and cords to devices that have not been around for 20 years that you still have. That's easy to toss in the go pile. Are you with me? On the other hand, there are just some things that you know that you want to keep. They're keepsakes. They're important things to you. They're things that can be useful to you. They're things that can be useful to you in a season. So it's easy to say what goes in the keep pile. And it's pretty easy to understand what the go pile is. It's that maybe pile that's tricky, right? It's the maybe pile that's tricky. Because things that are going to the go pile can mysteriously find themselves in the maybe pile on the way. Are you know what I'm saying? Like when your spouse isn't looking in that 1993 cassette of Boys to Men, like that's supposed to go to the go pile and it ends up in the maybe pile because it's so hard to say goodbye. And then, you want me to sing it, don't you? It's so hard. All right, no. And then after a painful day of sifting through everything and of putting things into piles, you're tired because you've been through all of it. And it's been a long day. And you look at the go pile and you know what that's going. And you look at the keep pile and you know what that is. And the maybe pile, you know what? Well, the maybe pile, oh, man, baby, it's been a long day. Maybe that maybe pile just gets tossed in to the keep pile for now. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, I'm going to deal with it later anyway when I have more time. And then here's what happens. You start carrying your maybe pile around with you everywhere you move to, right? Because you're going to keep purging stuff and you're going to keep having these days. So everywhere you go, every time you take this other step on the ladder of like a brand new level of clarity for what you want to take with you on your life journey, there you are and it's purge day. And then you run into your maybe pile again. Because the maybe pile is still there. You know, the stuff that you probably don't really need anymore. The stuff that's probably not useful for your life anymore. The stuff that you're not supposed to have anymore. Are you with me? You ever found an old picture of yourself? You ever found an old picture of yourself and you look at it and you just sit back and you just smile? Because it's this reminder of like some incredible moment. Maybe it's from your childhood. Maybe it's from when you got older and there was this incredible event. It was something and you just look back and it just makes you smile. It brings back good memories. It's a mountaintop moment, right? And you show it to your spouse and you show it to your kids or you show it to your family or you show it to your friends and it's good. And then you put it back in the keep pile. Have you ever found a picture when you keep going through your stuff and you just stare at it? It's this picture of a time when you know it wasn't a mountain time. It was a picture of when you were in the valley. You can just see it. The moment that you look at it, maybe you were miserable and you didn't even know it. And the split second you look at it, you're immediately reminded of who you were in that picture or what was going on in your life in your picture. And you don't want to show that picture to anybody. And as you got that picture and you turn because you're going to put that picture in the go pile, and on your way to the go pile, you stop and you look because there's the maybe pile. And you look at the picture and you just kind of tuck it back in the maybe pile. Yeah. Or it pops back into the keep pile and you just tuck it back in. Because maybe your fear is that maybe I'm actually still that person. Maybe I'm not as far down the road as I thought I was. Maybe I'm still bound by the same harm that was done to me when I look at that picture and all that I see is a person who's just been harmed left and right, and I see that picture and maybe I'm still bound by that same harm that I see in that picture. Yeah? Or maybe right then in your life, what's happening is actually you're doing something incredible and you're actually, life's going pretty cool and God's speaking to you and you're starting to dip your toe into something, a big faith step, something that God's speaking to you. And you're dipping your toe because you know that he's spoken to, because he's got something for you over here. And you're going to say, okay, God, I believe you. I believe that you got something for me. So I start dipping my toe because this is where you want me to go. And I'm dipping it. And I keep dipping that toe. And then I see that picture. And this foot just wants to stay right here. I'm called to go over here and God's got something for me over here, but I see that picture and I'm reminded of the past where this is a faith step and I don't know what's over here, but even though that was pretty bad, I know what that feels like. At least I know what that feels like over here. Maybe you're afraid to believe in the promise because staying somewhat doubtful actually protects you from being exposed if the promise doesn't come to pass. So instead of going over here, we stay here. Or how about this? When you look at that picture, maybe all you see is that person and what they were doing at that time and who you were then and everything that surrounded you in that time, and you have strayed too far for God to love you. You've strayed way too far for God to love you. Because all you see is that person who used to do those things. So what you want to do is you just got to pay penance for that for the rest of your life. You got to walk through life trying to please God somehow and somehow make up for it. Because when I see that picture, all I see is the destruction that I caused. And God can't love a person that causes destruction like that. So I just got to pay penance for the rest of my life. And I got to sacrifice my future because of my past. Let me just say a quick word about sacrifice here. I'm not going to go too deep biblically into sacrifice, but I'm going to break it down for you when we think about sacrifice. In the Bible, specifically the idea behind sacrifices in the Old Testament is that an animal would be sacrificed. And the thought was that God is angry at me for everything that I've done. God is upset at me for everything that I've done and everything that I see in that picture. So God is angry for me. So what's going to happen is I'm going to sacrifice an animal and it will appease him for a time until I do more stuff between now and the next time that I have to sacrifice an animal to appease him. Until the next time that I got to sacrifice another animal to appease him. And then all of a sudden, I'm living an endless life of always being separated from God because of what I've done and always trying to make up for it somehow.
Jesus, and I want you to hear me here, Jesus' death on the cross, the ultimate and permanent sacrifice for our sins, turns all of that completely on its head, upside down. The writer of Hebrews has this to say. This is Hebrews 10. I'm going to start in verse 11. This is a good word right here. It says this. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifice. That's the animals. Which can never take away sins. But when this priest, and here the writer is talking about Jesus, but when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, and since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. That's us. How good of a word is that? It's interesting, as I was reading that, and I was reading that passage there that talks about the footstool. He sat down at the right hand of God, and since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. I know we all have images of Jesus. I know we all have images that conjure to our mind when we think about Jesus, or what he looks like, or what he's doing. But this says that Jesus sits at the right hand of his Father. And he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. His enemies, everything that's spoken into your life that you're just the sum total of what you once did, or that you're not good enough, or you see that old picture, you're still that old picture. That is the voice of the enemy, church. And this scripture says that the voice of the enemy doesn't get to sit at the right hand of the Father. The voice of the enemy is the footstool. So if I want to hear about who I am or where I'm going, why would I look to the footstool, and why would I listen to it when the Savior sits with his feet propped up right next to the Father? And the book of Hebrews goes on to say this, and it's incredible. It says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's important. And here's why that's important. That means everything he ever said was true for then, and it's true for now, and it's true for the future. Every bit of it. And here's why that's important. Jesus saying it is finished doesn't just signal the completion of work up until that point. It extends to us now. I want you to get this when I say it, church. When he says the words, it is finished, it's a prophetic declaration over your life right now. That everything that prevents you from stepping into your identity as a son or daughter of the Most High and the purpose that's been set aside for you ceases to prevent it anymore. That you no longer have to be shackled by your maybe pile. That there is no longer any possibility that you are maybe who you once were, and that you are maybe bound by the same things that you were once bound by. That anything and everything you've ever done has been reconciled, and it cannot stand between you and your Father. Remember this, church. Every moment of your life when you're face to face with a challenge that you thought you dealt with, but the maybe pile creeps up, and all of a sudden you think, well, maybe I haven't dealt with it, and the devil's whispering in your ear that no, you didn't deal with it. Every obstacle that you come up against that reminds you of who you used to be and what you used to do, every time that something comes up in your head that says you're never going to break that cycle, you will never ever be free, remember that the one who now lives inside of you, if you believe in Jesus, and you need to get this, the one who lives inside of you, Jesus Christ, is saying the same thing inside of you right now that he said 2,000 years ago on a cross. He's inside you, in your heart, and he is saying, it is finished. Come on. Your fear is finished. Disappointment is finished. Regret is finished. Abuse is finished. I can't get there is finished. You can sit down. Come on. Something incredible happens when we declare that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. We're talking about Jesus tonight. Something incredible happens when we declare that Jesus is our Lord and Savior and we accept Him. He lives in us. We've literally become new creations. The old is gone. And just like I can't pretend on Good Friday that I don't know the victory that comes around the corner, I can't pretend when I look back at that moment and I said, yes, Jesus, I will make you the Lord of my life. I can't pretend that that didn't happen in my life. That decision gives me firm ground to stand on because the old is gone. Are you with me, church? Because He's doing a new thing in you. He's doing a new thing in us. And for some of you here tonight, it is time to remember who you are and whose you are. It is time to draw a line in the sand and remember who you are and whose you are. You know, when you've been in a dark room for a long time and then you step into a room that's fully lit, it's painful on the eyes. It hurts. You know what I'm talking about? All of a sudden you step into that bright room and it hurts, but if you just stay there and you give your eyes time to adjust, you look around and everything becomes clear. The problem is that when we step into that light and it's so bright, sometimes we're so uncomfortable with it that we want to step back in the dark room because it's so shockingly bright and so shockingly different from where you once were that it's so bright that we want to step back into the darkness. But I want you to hear this. In order for Him to awaken you, He must remake you. And He remakes us when He gives us eyes to see with new light, church. Church, tomorrow and Sunday, we're going to have a party in this place that's so loud and so amazing, celebrating Jesus Christ, resurrected King, alive, victorious, His victory, my victory. But I'm convinced that Good Friday exists so we can stand and we can praise and we can shout with everything in our lungs so we can enjoy the concert, the event that's coming next. We have an opportunity tonight to draw a line in the sand and say, it's finished. Everything else behind me because of you, Jesus, is finished. Amen. And so, church, tonight, just like we do every service, we're going to open up the front here for prayer time. Every service, folks come down, they come for prayer. And I want folks to come down tonight for prayer, if that's you tonight. And it's time to just come forward and say, it's finished. And have somebody pray alongside you to the risen King, saying, yes, that's right. I stand alongside with my brother. I stand alongside with my sister. And it is finished. New life is ahead. New road is ahead. Amen. So we're going to open up this in a moment. And I don't want this moment to pass you by, church. If that's you tonight and you want to come forward for prayer and get some prayer, why don't you come down and have one of our team for you? We removed seats from this section just so people could come down, and there's an army of people that would love to stand alongside you in victory saying it is finished. But before we get to that, we've talked a lot about Jesus tonight. We've talked a lot about what it's like to have Him as our Lord and Savior, to have Him living inside of us. Literally, the words, it is finished, living inside of us, and to have great peace and great joy. And that's incredible. And tonight, if there's anybody here that doesn't know Him that wants that, we want to give you an opportunity to meet Him tonight for the first time in this place, to experience peace, to experience joy, to experience life and life everlasting, to say, I don't have to have a maybe pile anymore. I don't have to look back at things and wonder if I'm still that person because He's done a new thing in my life and I'm now a new creation and I'm no longer who I once was and I'm walking forward in the path and the purpose that He's made for me. And so tonight, I want to know if there's anybody here that wants to meet Jesus. This is an opportunity to say yes to your future. It's an opportunity to put the past to bed. Because it's time to just put it to bed. It's just time to put it to bed. God's doing a new thing. And so we're going to bow our heads here. I want everybody to bow our heads. Just everybody bow your heads. Nobody's looking around. The band's not looking around. I'm not looking around. I'm very interested in praying for anybody. And just right here from where I stand, I'm just going to pray for anybody who wants to meet Jesus tonight. I'm just going to pray to myself. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to point you out. Nobody's going to know. But I just want to look you in the eye and pray with you. If you want to meet Jesus tonight and make him the Lord of your life and confess with your mouth that he's your Savior, believe in your heart that God rose him from the dead, I want you to tell me. Nobody's looking around. But this is your moment. On the count of three, I'm going to ask for you to put up your hand. If you want joy and you want peace and you want the risen Savior to live inside of you, tonight, if you want to meet Jesus, on the count of three, would you put up your hand? One, two, three. Nobody's looking around. It's just me. I see that hand. Is there anybody else tonight on Good Friday coming to a Good Friday service? I see that hand. Is there anybody else tonight on a Good Friday service that wants to meet Jesus? I see that hand. Is there anybody else tonight that wants to meet Jesus on a Good Friday service? Put your hand up high so I can see him. Is there anybody else? Amen. We're all going to pray a prayer together. Keep your heads bowed. We're going to pray a prayer together. And you three that have your hand up, I want this prayer to be the cry of your heart. And we're all going to pray alongside you. And you don't have to know what to pray because you're going to repeat after me as I pray, okay? Are you ready? I just want you to repeat this prayer after me. We're all going to do it together loudly and boldly. Here we go. Dear Jesus, we love you. I believe you are the Son of God. You died on a cross, paid the price for my sins, and rose again to give me life, hope, joy, peace, and eternal life. I receive your forgiveness. I receive this new life with you as my Lord and my Savior. Help me to live it the way you designed for me. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Church, would you give God a shout of praise as you stand? Come on. Everybody stand up. Come on. The Word of God says the heavens literally throwing a party for those three people that raised their hands. We could not be more excited on a Good Friday service. Somebody coming to a Good Friday service meets Jesus for the first time. This is incredible, church. All right, we're going to close the service here in just a few minutes. We are here. Our team is here ready to pray for you. If you want prayer for anything, and I mean anything, church, the band is going to play a song, and it's a song about the promises of God. It's an incredible song about the promises of God. If God's spoken to you about a promise and you just want to come down and have somebody stand alongside you and say, yeah, I'll pray with you believing for that promise, this is your night. If you want to come forward for prayer saying, I need to come forward tonight and say, it is finished. No longer do I have to look behind me. I want you to come over here. Our team is going to pray for you, church, and then we'll close the service right after that.